Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the Monday, January 27th edition of the MMA OB Daily Podcast. I'm your host, as always, Adam Martin, and I'll be taking you guys through the latest in the world of mixed martial arts. Battling some really bad cold right now, guys, so bear with me here. I'm going to try my best today, but definitely won't be at the top of my game. I'm still going to do the podcast, though, so I'm going to recap the UFC card, UFC Raleigh, and then I'll recap Bellator 238. I'll leave all the fight announcements for tomorrow. Hopefully, I feel better by then. There were actually quite a few fight announcements, but I want to give them their fair due. Let's start with UFC Raleigh here. For what I saw, a pretty good card. So we'll start with the main event, work our way down as always. Main event of the evening, Curtis Blaydes defeats Jair dos Santos via knockout in the first round. Second round. Really solid performance by Blaydes. He looked really good in this fight. You know, I think a lot of us, including myself, thought that the path to victory here for Curtis was the takedown. But it wasn't. He actually stood with JDS and had no problem standing with him. He actually outboxed him, which I thought was incredibly impressive. And then ended up knocking him out with a barrage of knees and punches in the second round. So a very good performance here at Blaydes. He looked amazing. He's on a three-fight win streak now. He called for a title shot after the fight. I don't think he gets it because he has lost twice to Nagano, who I think is a little above him at the moment. Of course, if Rozenstruik goes and beats Nagano in March, that would flip the landscape around. You know, but at the end of the day, Stipe and DC they're still in that holding pattern for that third fight, that trilogy. And until that happens, the rest of these guys that are winning fights aren't going to get their fair shake. So it's really unfortunate that's going to happen. I'd like to see Curtis Blaydes eventually get a title shot, but I think he's probably going to need at least one more win. And I'm not sure who that's going to be against at this point. A lot of the top guys are already booked. So we'll have to wait and see what the UFC does with Curtis. He might want to wait around and just see if Stipe even ends up fighting DC. I mean, that fight could potentially not even happen. But, we'll see what happens there. I mean, just looking at the top five, like I said, Stipe, DC, and then you have Nagano, Rozenstruik. I just don't think a trilogy fight makes sense if Nagano beats Rozenstruik. I don't want to see that third fight right now, maybe down the road. So Blaydes, you know, maybe he's looking at number five, Derek Lewis. That could be a potential opponent if Lewis beats his next opponent at UFC Houston. He's fighting... Who is Derek Lewis fighting? I forgot. Ivanov? No, he just beat Ivanov. The UFC website sucks. Derek Lewis, he's fighting next week, and he's fighting. I should know this. Sorry, guys. He's fighting Latifi. Yeah, it's a random opponent. If Lewis wins that fight, maybe he could do Curtis Blaydes against Derek Lewis. That's the only other fight I can think of. But yeah, I mean, he looked great. It's just that he's kind of in a bad spot right now with the division being held up by Stipe and DC. And as for JDS, you know, 35 years old, back-to-back knockout losses now. He's been knocked out five times in his last like 12 fights or something. So at this point, his career is kind of winding down. He can still win fights against, I think, mid-tier guys or lower-tier guys, but the top elite guys like Blaydes, Nagano, Stipe, he can't beat those guys. So he did beat Derek Lewis last year, and Derek Lewis is ranked number five. So I would still rank JDS pretty high in this division, probably in the top five or top six, something like that. But, you know, I think he's better off being a gatekeeper. I just don't know if that's the path he wants to take. He might end up, you know, retiring at some point. But he's a Hall of Famer one day and a great fighter, a legendary fighter in this division. But I just think that his days passed and now we have guys like Blaydes who are the future. Co-main event, Michael Chiesa defeats Rafael dos Anjos via unanimous decision. He looked great. I didn't expect this to happen. I know there's a few guys that were in the chat room last week saying this was a good bet. He looked really good. He looked big once again. He's a big guy, even at 170. I can't believe he made 155 all those years. But yeah, he looked really good in this fight. RDA had nothing for his takedowns, and Chiesa just controlled him on the ground. Willie came down in the third final round, and Chiesa got the takedown when he needed and held RDA down for the majority of the round. RDA couldn't get up, and RDA, you know, another guy, 35, just like JDS, seems like he might be on the way down. To be fair to him, he's only really lost the top guys, but losing to Chiesa was not a ranked fighter. So to me, that's a sign that he is on the decline. Obviously, he already was because he had lost four of his last five. So, you know, RDA, another guy that potentially could be a Hall of Famer one day and former champion, guy who's been in the UFC for 12 years now. But I think at this point, he's not an elite guy anymore in the welterweight division. Whereas Chiesa, you know, he called out Colby Covington after the fight. Then that's an interesting fight. Does he get the fight? Maybe. I mean, why not? Covington needs to get back on track. And Chiesa's ranked, he'll be ranked probably number five now after beating RDA, who was number five. So, you could see Covington, who I think is one or two against Chiesa. It's possible. And I think he called for July in Vegas. That'd be a fun fight. I'd like to see that fight, actually. It's an interesting matchup. Flyweight, Alex Perez defeats Jordan Espinoza. First round submission with an arm triangle choke. Looked great. You know, it's a shame he lost to Benavidez 2 years ago, because if he didn't, he could be potentially fighting for that vacant title. But he did lose that fight, so he'll have to wait and see what happens with Figueiredo and Benavidez. If Figueiredo beats Benavidez, this guy, Perez, could easily slide in to that number one contender spot at flyweight. You know, I'm glad this division is kind of having a revival. It's looking pretty good lately. Some of these guys have looked awesome. Perez has looked great. The guy's a very dangerous guy, and he's won, what, 9 of his last 10 fights, so he's extremely impressive fighter, very, very good, very dangerous, and look great in this fight for Espinoza. I mean, I don't think he'll get cut, because the division's like, they need guys that at least can stay active and fight, but with a 2-fight losing streak, he probably gets one more fight, and if he loses that, he'll get cut. Women's strawweight, Angela Hill defeats Hannah Cyphers via second-round TKO. He'll look good once again, and, you know, she surprised me a little bit lately, back-to-back TKO wins, so no credit to her, because I pretty much pick against her every fight. I don't think she's a great fighter, and she keeps winning. So good for her. And then for Cyphers, you know, that snapper 2-fight win streak. She's 2-2 down the UFC. It's her worst performance, I think. She'll be back. But yeah, this was a bad performance by her. But for Hill, I mean, really solid. And also on the main card, we had Jamal Hill defeating Darko Stošić for unanimous decision. Hill looked really good. I think Stošić could potentially be cut. He's lost 3 straight fights, and he's just 1-3 in the UFC, and honestly hasn't looked that good, so I think he probably ends up getting released. Going down to the prelims, Vaughn Lewis defeats Quan Townsend, being that decision. Outstruck him pretty much. I don't think anyone's surprised by that. Pretty obvious that he was going to win that fight just based on the betting lines and what everyone was saying about it. Arnold Allen defeats Nick Lentz via unanimous decision. Once again, another fight that I think a lot of us expected Allen to win. And Lentz took a nasty eye poke. He posted a video on his Instagram. His eye's in really bad shape. He took a lot of damage in that fight, too. So, you know, Nick Lentz is a guy who's been around forever, taking a lot of damage. But for Arnold Allen, 7 straight wins now in the UFC. It's time for a top 10 opponent. Top 5, maybe even. He's right up there with the top guys at featherweight now, in my opinion. Next up, Justine Kiesch defeats Lucy Pudilova. Unanimous decision. This was an upset. One that a lot of us didn't see coming, considering Keisha hasn't fought in like 2 years. So good for her. And for Pudilova, again, 3 straight losses. Another fighter who's probably going to be released. Montel Jackson defeats Felipe Claris for unanimous decision. Now we know why the betting line was like minus 700. If you see it, he was a big, big favorite in this fight. And yeah, I mean, he looked amazing. Pretty much dominating the fight from bell to bell, 30-25, 30-26, 30-26. So just a dominant performance by Montel Jackson. Next up, Sarah McMahon defeats Lena Landsberg, the unanimous decision, 30-25, 30-26, 30-27. So she looked really good in that fight. She looked really good in this one as well. And I was surprised. I thought Landsberg had a good chance to win, but, you know, McMahon with that wrestling just really dominated this fight. Next up, Brett Johns defeated Tony Gravely via submission in the third round. This was a back-and-forth fight. This one fight of the night. A lot of people thought this was the best fight of the night. And yeah, they ended up winning a bonus for both guys, $50,000. So good for those guys. It's always nice to see the undercard guys get rewarded. Brett Johns was my one underdog pick that I got right in this card. I still think there was really good value on him. And he ended up getting the win in the third round in a back and forth fight. And then Herbert Burns defeats Nate Landwehr via knockout knee in the first round. I thought Landwehr had a good chance here, but too aggressive, and Burns caught him with a nasty knee. So overall, some pretty good finishes on this card. And Johns versus Gravely wins Friday night in performance, and that goes to Perez and Burns. Just a couple of questions here. Williams, what are your thoughts on Joe Rogan versus Stephen A. Smith, considering there is no video of Stephen saying swear and quit, but there's video of Connor in 2016 saying swear and quit? Yeah, Marcus, listen, man. I love you, Marcus, but I've got your tweets, bro. You've sent like 3 of them. You know, I've seen them, Marcus. Like I said earlier in the podcast, I've been sick as a dog all weekend, dude, so I just haven't responded to any tweets. I know you've tagged, like, other journalists in there, too. Yeah, I mean, Connor's a hypocrite. Like, I'm not sure what else to say, man. The whole thing is kind of stupid, in my opinion. Like, you know, Stephen A. Smith, he does this to get people talking about him, and he's worked his magic again. So, you know, it's kind of a silly feud. I mean, I don't have to say, like, we know he's not an MMA journalist. We know he's not an MMA guy. So should we really be surprised that he said that? And as far as Connor saying that, yeah, he did say that. And I saw the tweet he made to Stephen A. Smith, but I don't have to say, man. I really don't know. I just think it's all kind of stupid, in my opinion. But yeah. And then Adrian Kapoor, Curtis might have to do it, Max Holloway, and beat everyone in the division for getting a title shot. So maybe Volkov or Lewis should be next. Yeah, that's what I'm thinking too, dude. I think Lewis, if he beats Latifi or Volkov, like you said, is another guy who's kind of waiting for a fight. That'd be a fun fight, Blades versus Volkov. let's be honest, he does deserve a title shot. And Stipe did say that he wants to fight a guy he hasn't fought yet. But I just don't see it happening, man. I just feel like Nagano, Rosenstruck, the winner, that's probably going to fight the winner of Stipe and DC. But can that fight just happen? If it's not going to happen, please book these guys for the title then, because it's not fair to make the rest of the division wait around. All right, let's get to Bellator 238 here. I'll start with the main event and then go work my way down. As usual, Chris Cyborg defeats Julia Budd via fourth round TKO. She looked amazing in this fight. Seriously, one of her best performances, I think. Budd is a very, very good fighter, and Cyborg just destroyed her. I mean, this fight wasn't even close, so I was extremely impressed by Chris Cyborg in this fight. She looked incredible. 22-2-1 no contest in her career now. The one loss to Man U is in the last 15 years, guys. I mean, that's it, you know? So to me, she's arguably the best women's fighter of all time. You know, Man U probably does get the leg up because they had the head-to-head, she had the head-to-head win over her. But, you know, Cyborg's right there. And I wrote an article this morning on MMArings.net. And I know, Marcus, you read it, so I appreciate that. You know, I think this was a huge mistake by the UFC to let her go. And I think it's just so Dana White's ego getting in the way once again. And that was a big mistake because Chris Cyborg versus Amanda Nunes, that's the fight everyone wants to see. And we're not, unfortunately, going to see that fight, which is really disappointing. But, you know, and she's going to stay in Bellator. And now they're saying Arlene Blenko is next. Is anyone excited for that fight? You guys can leave a comment. I don't care about that fight at all. You know, I know Kat Zingano was coming off a loss to Megan Anderson. Actually, it was on the Nunes and Cyborg card 2 years ago. But I'd like to see that fight instead. I'd rather see Zingano against Cyborg. I guess they want to get Zingano a fight, a tune-up fight before she fights in the belt. But does anyone really think Arlene Blenkow has a chance to beat Chris Cyborg? I don't. I just think that would be a bloodbath again. It'd probably be a first-round win. So, yeah, Chris Cyborg looked amazing. She's the Grand Slam champ of MMA, four titles and four major MMA promotions. She's looked amazing in this fight. Next up, Darian Caldwell defeats Adam Borge via submission. Man, he looked good in this fight. And this was what kind of surprised me because I thought Borge had a good chance to win, but Caldwell looked incredible in this fight, guys. And you know, his wrestling just dominated from bell to bell. And it only took 2 minutes, and he got the job done. So Borge, first pro loss. Guy's a really good prospect still. He'll be back. He was crying in the ring after. And it's cool how Caldwell kind of consoled him. They posted a picture together after on social media, which I thought was really cool too. But yeah, Caldwell moves on. He'll be fighting AJ McKee. And they had their little stare down in the ring, which I thought was awesome. I'm looking forward to seeing that fight. I got to favor McKee. I think this kid's the real deal. And I think he's probably the best prospect in MMA right now. But man, you know, Caldwell with that wrestling is dangerous for anyone, especially in a five-round fight, because when have we ever seen McKee go the five rounds, right? I don't know. Next up, Juan Archuleta defeats Henry Corrales via decision. This fight was really boring and honestly could have gone either way. I know Chael Sonnen and Ali Malay, they were doing the commentating. They said that they thought it should have been 30-27 for Corrales, but you know, it was a close fight. It could have gone either way. I wasn't impressed with Archuleta. I mean, the guy is a good fighter, but to me, this is one of his weaker performances. Just wasn't a good fight. And next up, Sergio Pettis defeats Alfred Kasakian via submission guillotine choke. He looked incredible, but again, overmatched opponent, so I don't know what we learned from it, but he did look really good in this fight. Raymond Daniels gets a knockout win in the first round, and Emily King defeats Ava Knight. And then looking on the prelims, Aaron Pico picked up a great knockout win over Daniel Carey. Looked incredible once again. I heard he's a free agent, so that's interesting. PFL could be a play. Maybe he just stays in Bellator. I don't think the UFC will call. They could. I doubt it. But I think PFL could be a good spot for Aaron Pico. And just looking down, Curtis Miller picked up a win. AJ Agadzaren picked up a win. And Anthony Taylor defeated Chris Afia, who is, of course, Nate Diaz's boy. Got one more question here. No way, Kevin Scott, no way the UFC should have kept Cyborg after you put out that ultra video of her conversation with Dana. She's too much of a headache for the revenue she generates. Is she, though? I don't know about that. I mean, like, honestly, like, what other women can even sell fights, man? Manon Nunez. Is there anyone else? I can't even really think of anyone else right now. Like, Valentina, I guess. And I don't even think she sells that much. Maybe Joanna. There just really aren't too many female draws, man. Holly Holm, I guess, could be one of them. To me, it's like Cyborg's one of the few draws. She's one of the few people that, you know, fans will pay to watch this fight. So to me, it was a mistake. I know what you're saying about the altered video. That wasn't a good look for sure on her. I think she said her team did it, but either way, yeah, it was a bad look for sure. But at the same time, you know, I still feel like they could have mended the fences and got that fight done and that contract done. The rematch with Nunes would have been the fight that I wanted to see. And I think a lot of us wanted to see that, but, you know, we won't end up seeing that. If anyone has any last questions, throw them in here, and I'll answer them. But like I said, I want to say the fight announcements are tomorrow. There were some really good fights announced, including Glover versus Anthony Smith. But I'm going to talk about that tomorrow because I want to give it its fair due. All right, cool. All right, you guys can check me on Twitter at MMAdamMartinPodcast. And a lot of my articles are available at maoddsbreaker.com. And I got to give a shout out to my boss man, Nick Kalikas. He's doing some really good stuff over there at MMA Oddsbreaker. And if you go to his Twitter or Instagram, he's posting his bets. So he's going to Superbook, I think it's called, Westgate in Vegas, Westgate Sportsbook. And he's posting his bet slips and actually giving the cashier his money. So you're seeing legitimate bets. He made a bet on Dominic Reyes and Yoel Romero this weekend at big underdog money because he thinks there's value on him. So it's really cool to see Nick actually, you know, go in there and make his bets and put it on camera. I think that's a really good idea by him. And also check me out, guys, at djpan.com. We got a ton of articles there. Every Sunday I work a full shift, so it's a lot of articles. And then marings.net, like I said, the Cyborg article. Got one last question here. Adrian Kapoor, always appreciate your questions, man. Could Pico go back to the regionals like LFA, or is he already too big? He won't go to LFA. He doesn't need to go there. Bellator is a good spot for him at this point. I know he did have a couple losses, but, you know, he lost to some decent fighters. He could go to PFL. That's a good spot. Contender Series is another spot, too. We didn't mention that. So that's a possibility as well, I guess. But I feel like he'll probably want to stick around in, like, Bellator because he's getting paid pretty well there, even though he hasn't really performed up to maybe his expectations that a lot of us had for him. Anyways, guys, thanks again for tuning in to the podcast. Hopefully I feel better by tomorrow. But until then, have a great day, and I'll be back for one podcast tomorrow, not two, because there is no UFC to cover for this weekend. So guys, have a great day, and I'll talk to you soon. Bye.